Listen and stream the only talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
Every single Friday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m., you guys know what happens. The Freedom 106.5 station turns into the digital world with myself, Karen Rose, and my co-host, Janine Edwards. Now, Janine is on the scene doing some reporting right now, so she's going to be in momentarily. So you guys are going to keep it locked with me. Now, digital world, again, every single week, what we do is we try and do our best to help give the information and actionable tips, the strategies on how to take your business online. And also, if you're not somebody who has a business, this is still a great program to listen to, because maybe you want to start adding a additional revenue stream to what you are doing with your full-time job, all right? And we talk about a lot of great tools, a lot of great platforms and things to do. We also interview a lot of the entrepreneurs across the Caribbean region. If they're in Trinidad, you know, we like to bring them into the studio, talk about their journey, see, you know, why they got into their business, and you know what is the behind the scenes of everything they go through in that business. Because at the end of the day, you know, if we continue to get information and knowledge from everybody's story, that might hold a missing piece of the puzzle for us, right? Or it might give you the inspiration to get out and, you know, do your own thing. So we have two lovely guests that are going to be coming in today later on in the show. And I'm wondering if I should tell you guys from now who they're going to be. You guys know we like to build up the hype and then we drop it on you coming closer to the time. But you know what? I'm going to let you guys know who's coming into the show for today. So we got two guests coming in. The first guest that's going to be coming in at 1 p.m. is Miss Renee Andrews from Sorvay, the small batch ice cream factory. And they've been doing some really, really amazing things. Some of the flavors that I see them, you know, coming up with and turning into ice cream, again, crazy. And who knows, maybe there is somebody out there who has been thinking about creating their own ice cream. We know that last year, 2022, the Entrepreneur of the Year that was crowned from the TT Business Chambers, from the TT Chambers of Business and Commerce, was the couple over from A&J Ice Cream. And they really blew up last year with their doubles ice cream. So, you know, we have seen some local ice cream shops, you know, really taking some massive leaps. So we've invited Miss Renee Andrews from Sorvay to come on down. Let's talk about, you know, her journey, how she's gone from being a chef and now a business owner and doing that in the realm of ice cream. You know, gotta love your ice cream. And our second guest that's going to be coming in today, today feels like it's a food day, because our second guest is coming in from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. is Miss Simone Edwin from Meraki Catering. And we're going to be talking about her journey and how she's become an award-winning chef down here in the Caribbean as well. So we have a lot to talk about. We got some great entrepreneurs that are going to be stopping by today. And every single week, we have some amazing guests that come in. Next week, we have the TT Stock Exchange that's going to be coming in and talking about their new platform that you're going to be able to use to start investing. So again, even next week is going to be another extremely edifying show. Now, As for now, we got some time to kill. And before we like to bring our guests in, we like to tackle, you know, some hot topics that have been, you know, happening in the digital space for all of our business owners and soon to be business owners. And one of the hot topics has really been communication with businesses. And it's, for the most part, most businesses, their main channels are usually going to be their social media platforms and then also WhatsApp, right? Now, we know that the business owners have to get a lot better with responding and their communication on social media. But I want to leave that alone for a second, because I want to help the business owners, right? And one of the things that I've noticed and I've seen a lot of business owners, you know, complaining about is that they have the WhatsApp channel and they're using the personal WhatsApp channel. So they only have one number, and it might be their it's their personal number, and they're using that for business. And then they're starting to get frustrated because you have clients or customers that, you know, might be busy throughout the day. We know how things go. And the only time they get to the opportunity to be able to inquire about other businesses, products and services might be, you know, early in the morning or late at night. And because they are messaging the business owners at all kinds of hours of the day or night, a lot of business owners have started to express frustration that, hey, you know what, they don't know why customers think it's okay to be messaging them at 10 o'clock at night or 1 o'clock in the morning. And I challenge business owners every single time, because we have the tools available to separate our personal communication and our business communication. But you haven't set those things up. And what happens is, if you're only using that WhatsApp, the regular WhatsApp, your personal line, as your business line as well, what happens is you might have somebody who is on your social media platforms and they have a question. But again, they might be looking at your stuff at some godforsaken hour. Might be 10 o'clock at night, might be 1 o'clock in the morning, and they're going to message the business. Now, typically, when they are messaging you on social media, or they're messaging you on your email or via your website, maybe there's a contact form on your website if you have one of those things, nobody's expecting the business to respond right away. The only time people expect the business to respond right away is if there's on their website and it says that the business is online. That's the only time people really expect to see a response right away. Now, keep in mind what I just said. That is a live chat option on your website, and it would say that your business is online. Think about when your only form of communication is your WhatsApp number, and it just so happens to be your personal number, and when they go on WhatsApp, they see you online. People aren't thinking about the time of the day. They just see that you're online. They're like, oh, okay, well, this person's online. I'm online. Let me shoot them a message. I'm trying to do business with them. I should be able to get a response. That is how a lot of customers think, right? And then you receive that communication on your personal WhatsApp, and you're like, man, why is this person messaging me at this godforsaken hour? Regardless of whether it is business or not, we don't care. And that's because the business owners themselves have not set up WhatsApp business. What a lot of people don't know is that you can run two WhatsApps on your device. Matter of fact, WhatsApp launched a major update last year, second half of last year, where if you have WhatsApp business, you can connect up to 5 different devices on that same number. So if you have a team, right, you can have that WhatsApp business application and communications, you can have that on up to 5 different mobile devices so that your team can properly respond to the communications that are coming in, right? When you set up your WhatsApp business, there's a whole suite of features that allow you to manage your communications with your potential customers. So one of the big ones is setting up your times. You can set up your hours of operations on the business, and that allows you now to set up your autoresponder. So if somebody messages the business and it's outside of business hours, you can put on, there's a do not disturb mode that allows you to block all calls or, you know, send all calls to voicemail. But then you could also have the autoresponder to say, hey, we are currently not in office right now. Business hours are this. You know, we will be responding back to you within the next 24 to 48 hours, whatever your turnaround time is. And that communication is now separate. That way, the communications are on WhatsApp business. Your WhatsApp regular, your WhatsApp personal, that is going to be a separate application. So when you are using your phone at whatever time it is of the day or night, you might be at the club, you might be going out, it's 12 o'clock at night, You don't have to worry about customers messaging your personal line. Those messages will be going to your WhatsApp business. And you don't have to even open your WhatsApp business. You can forget about that until whenever you are ready to start communicating with your clientele. But that allows you now to separate your personal messages and your business messages. So that way, you don't get frustrated. You're not worried about, you know, why people are messaging you. And WhatsApp business is going to give you a suite of other features. So let me talk to you. Let me give you some more information about exactly what WhatsApp business can do for you as a business owner. And again, this is one of those things where I really want to see people setting this up because it's huge. It's a big game changer. So the first reason why you want to have WhatsApp business set up if you are a business owner is business profile. The business profile allows you to have a professional appearance so your clients understand quite a bit of the necessary information about your business. You can add things like your logo. You can add things like your location. If you have a physical location, you can add your address into WhatsApp Business. That way people can click on the map and it'll automatically load up either Google Maps or Waze, whatever map app they are using. So you can put your location in. Like I said, you can set your business hours inside of that. And that's very important, right? So people don't have to scramble to see whether you are open or not. Because we know most businesses in Trinidad and Tobago and the rest of the Caribbean don't necessarily have websites. And a lot of them don't even have Google Business set up. So you can see at a glance, like when you Google a business, whether they what their opening hours are. And you're kind of just guessing, right? So at least on your WhatsApp business, you would be able to set up your business hours. And if you're closed, you could turn it off. We know that Eid is tomorrow. Some businesses are observing it and they're closed today. So you could quickly update that on your WhatsApp business, right? So people, again, could see your hours of operations. You could add your phone numbers in there. You can add your email addresses in there. This is key because if somebody has to email you, again, this is going to do it nice and quickly, right? Just make it nice and accessible for them. Then you can also add your WhatsApp URL. So again, if you have a website, you can add your WhatsApp URL in there. Again, this is going to give you all of the information. This is going to give your customers all of the information about your business right in the profile. It also allows you to set your business segmentation. Are you in food? Are you in automotive? Are you a business? Are you a business consultant? You can set your business segmentation in that business profile as well. The second major reason why I want to see more businesses use WhatsApp Business is for the catalog. WhatsApp Business allows you to have a catalog for your products and services, and this is going to greatly improve the communication with your clients. Again, many of you do not have websites. You only have social media, and people don't like to scroll through months and months and months of content on your Instagram, and we definitely ain't doing it on your Facebook. People do not want to be scrolling through, you know, all the past posts on social media. You want to be able to have a nice catalog. So if you do not have a website, then your catalog can happen on WhatsApp Business. So people are going to be able to either, you know, maybe they could take screenshots of your products and services on the catalog and whatnot if they choose to. But what they can also do is they can actually select the products or services in your catalog and they can add it to the WhatsApp cart and then they can send you that order on WhatsApp. So whilst the payment isn't going to happen on WhatsApp Business, they can send you that order. So again, if you have your catalog, they can pick all the products and services that they want. They can send you that order in WhatsApp Business. The business would then get it. And then they can now, you know, send you a proper invoice or send you payment options or however they want to do it. The other good thing is that if you are a business that does have a e-commerce ready website, if your business does have an e-commerce ready website, in that catalog, when you are listing out your products and services, you can get the product or the service link on your website, and then you can add the link right in the catalog per product. So let's just say if you're selling a chocolate cake, and you have that, option to for people to buy it on your website, you could take the product link for that chocolate cake and then put it in the WhatsApp business under the chocolate cake product in the WhatsApp business catalog. Put the link inside there so when someone sees it, when they're going through your catalog on WhatsApp business, they can then click on the link for that product and it would take them right to the product page on your website to complete the purchase. Again, seamless transaction. You could also add the prices, the names, a product description, all of that inside each of the products or services inside the catalog feature for WhatsApp business. So this is another major reason why a business should have WhatsApp business. All right, take full advantage of that catalog. Third reason why you want to have WhatsApp business is, again, if you do have a website, then you can actually set up web chat from WhatsApp business directly on your website. Okay, so rather than somebody, let's just say if you want to have, you know, live chats or you want to be able to improve the two-way communication, then on your website you can include web chat, WhatsApp web chat on your website, so that when people click on it, a window would pop up and the communications would be sent directly to you on your WhatsApp. All right, that'd be your WhatsApp business. So that would make it easier for people now. They could be browsing your website, and if they have a question, click on that web chat. It pops up a portal. They can start to send messages to you, and then that is how that communication would happen directly on your website, and those messages would go to your WhatsApp, all right? Improving that two-way communication. The fourth key reason why I want to see more businesses with WhatsApp business is, I touched on this earlier, but that multiple devices, being able to link up to 5 devices on WhatsApp business is massive, because now, again, if you have a team member, if there's multiple people that are responsible for communicating with the public on behalf of the business, you can connect either phones or computers. So maybe that person doesn't necessarily want to connect their phone. They don't want to download WhatsApp business and have that on the phone for the business. They can connect their computer, right? So you can use either phones or computers as a part of those allotment of 5 devices to connect to WhatsApp business. All right. So if you have that team, if there's multiple people, set up WhatsApp business, add up to 5 devices. That way somebody can respond to the clientele. We want to improve the communication because I tell you, one of the biggest complaints is always communication with businesses in Trinidad and Tobago. We are calling businesses and it almost feels like you're begging to give businesses their money because nobody's answering. Nobody's answering. Nobody's picking up emails, you know. So if you are struggling with communication, you know, WhatsApp business is great. And one of the main reasons why many businesses don't set up, don't want to give out a WhatsApp number is because they don't know that WhatsApp business is around. It's shocking. It's 2023 and it's been up for some years, but there's a lot of businesses that do not know that WhatsApp business is actually around, and they don't want to give out their personal number on WhatsApp. So that's a key reason why a lot of businesses don't allow you to communicate with them through WhatsApp. It's because they don't know that WhatsApp business exists. And I want to stress on this point that if you have a device, right? If you have a device, if you have a dual SIM device and you have 2 phone numbers, your personal number and your business number on that device, remember, you're typically only paying for data on one of your SIMs, but data is going to be coming into your device. So if you have WhatsApp and WhatsApp business, 2 of them on your one device, you don't have to take out a separate data plan to run that WhatsApp business. You can run both WhatsApps on your one device. So for my phone, if you're watching live stream, I have my device, right? And I have both WhatsApp personal and WhatsApp business on the one device. Communications are nice and separate, But you can have your two WhatsApps on one device, your WhatsApp personal and your WhatsApp business. Again, there's a lot of people that do not know that you can have two WhatsApps on one device. You're only paying for that one data plan, right? You don't have to take on another data plan, no. Once you have your two numbers on your device, you can download both your WhatsApp personal and WhatsApp business. Unless you say you're using an iPhone and you don't have a dual SIM device, because most, unless you have the eSIM and physical SIM, you're probably not going to have two numbers coming in on one device. As long as you have that second number, as long as you have that second SIM card in another phone that is allowed to receive a text message, right? Then you can download WhatsApp Business onto your main phone. And then when it sends the verification code to the other number, it'll do that via text message. And then you'll be able to receive it on the other phone, put it into the main phone. And that is how you're going to be able to connect two WhatsApps on your iPhone, your WhatsApp personal and WhatsApp business. But you need to have that second number. And that second number could be a prepaid number, right? Doesn't have to be a postpaid number. That could be a prepaid number. So get that prepaid number, have that there, and connect your WhatsApp business to it. The fifth reason, the fifth and final reason, and this is huge. This is huge, right? The fifth reason why businesses need to have WhatsApp business is WhatsApp Stories. So did you know that WhatsApp Stories has the highest engagement rate of all story platforms? And this is because WhatsApp does not have an algorithm like the other stories platforms. So once your client saves your number, you can start to utilize WhatsApp Stories to create useful content, even add links directly into WhatsApp Stories so that you can take your clients to your product pages or any URL that you want them to go and check out. Because remember, you can post links into WhatsApp Stories. You can post your photos, you can post your videos. And again, because it's WhatsApp Business and you're giving out your number freely, as soon as people save your number, they're going to be able to start seeing your WhatsApp story content. And there's no algorithm. Facebook Stories, Instagram Stories, they have an algorithm. So not everybody sees your stories. But on WhatsApp, there is no algorithm. As long as people have your number, then they're going to be able to receive your stories. And WhatsApp's been making some big strides to get even more engagement on the stories, because now when you look at, when you go into your messaging, when you go into your list of messages, right? If you would have noticed, this happened about maybe like 2 months ago, you would notice that people's pictures now have a green ring around the image to signify that they have posted new WhatsApp stories. All right. So WhatsApp Stories does not have an algorithm like Facebook or Instagram Stories, where an algorithm prevents your stories from being seen from everybody on your list. So have WhatsApp Business, start creating your business content and posting it to WhatsApp Stories, whether it's videos, links, pictures, right? And there's no algorithm, post it to your stories. And as long as your audience has your number saved, they're going to start to get that content from your WhatsApp. All right. Yes. So this is huge. I want more people to start to really look into WhatsApp Business. And here's a bonus. Here's a bonus tip for you. There's also, we're seeing a lot of businesses leverage QR code for marketing, right? And that's dope. That's no problem. As long as you're using QR codes in the right way, most businesses are not. A very bad example of QR codes being used in marketing. If you're in Trinidad and Tobago, if you actually drive down the highway, you're on the highway and there are billboards asking you to scan QR codes. How on earth are you expecting, you as the business, you as the marketing team, how on earth are you expecting somebody to be driving on a highway and be able to whip their phone out to scan your QR code or even capture a picture and then try to scan the QR code after the fact? That is absolutely insane to me, right? And I know they're probably thinking, well, you know what? We have a lot of traffic, so they're probably going to be in traffic and, you know, not, they're going to be able to capture the QR code. Regardless, it's still crazy to me that you have QR codes on the highway, right? Because it revolves around you taking your phone out and taking a picture or scanning the QR code whilst you are, you know, on the highway. So one of the things that you could do is something, if you could, you could check out WhatsApp API. And WhatsApp API allows you to create a variety of opportunities to use WhatsApp and create like automated forms, so that way you can get people to enter in information and give them automatic responses. Let me give you a situation as to when that would be perfect. We have a lot of people in Trinidad and Tobago and in the Caribbean that don't know how to scan QR codes, because on Apple devices, you can just use your camera app and allows you to pull up the link automatically from the QR code when you open the camera app. Same thing on Samsung devices. But all of the other devices from Android, you actually have to go into Google and use Google Lens to be able to pull up that QR code, right? Most people don't know that. So what you can do is, I'm seeing a lot of restaurants utilize this where they have QR codes and they want people to scan the QR code to get the menu. Rather than do that, where a lot of people do not know how to do that, you can actually use the WhatsApp API setup where you can create your menu inside of WhatsApp. So that when somebody messages the phone number, it'll be like, hey, welcome to Rose's Fruit Garden, whatever, right? And then it's going to say things like, hey, press 1 for drink menu, press 2 for food, 3 for appetizers, you name it, you get the idea. And once they press 1, then it's going to pop up the entire drink menu with the prices. They press 2, it'll give them the appetizers and so forth. That would be a lot more beneficial than a lot of the QR code marketing, because everybody knows how to use WhatsApp. Not everybody knows how to use the QR code marketing. So WhatsApp API, check that out. There's a lot of things you can create utilizing WhatsApp API and create automated systems for your business that just help you create easier communication with your audience, all right? So that's our hot topic, or our hot issue for today. 5 reasons to have WhatsApp business. Again, we want to improve the communication from our business owners to the public. I also understand business owners, you guys are stressed out from a lot of people messaging you at all crazy hours of the day or night, simply because you only have WhatsApp personal setup and you do not have WhatsApp business. So all of your business communication is happening on your WhatsApp personal devices. Okay. You want to separate that. Go ahead, set up 2 WhatsApps, your regular WhatsApp and WhatsApp business. Keep those business conversations separate. That way you get a bigger peace of mind. And it also gives you a lot more features to manage your communications with your clientele, all right? So we're going to go take a quick break. We're going to pay some bills, listen to some tunes, and I'm going to go and get our first guest, because she has officially touched down inside the Guardian Studios, all right? So keep it locked right here on the Digital World. We have a whole lot more to discuss and get into, all right? Cool.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
We finally have our guest inside today's studio, and we were speaking about, you know, being resilient and not being afraid to start back over and pick yourself back up. Listen, just within the 2 to 3 minutes that me and Miss Andrews have been talking, there's been gems just flowing out of Miss Andrews. So without further ado, right here on the Digital World, I want to introduce Miss Andrews. Renee Andrews is a 28-year-old founder and owner of Sorvay. It is an artisanal line of frozen yogurts that offers delivery to your door. The 2019 Agripreneurship winner is passionate about all things ice cream. That's my kind of people, to be honest. She's a line chef turned ice cream guru, and each month she uses her culinary culinary background to create unique and memorable flavors. Renee believes that ice cream has an amazing ability to transport you to fond memories and hopes that with each bite, you get a chance to reminisce and unwind. Renee, that is sounding like my kind of people. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I've really been seeing, I think for the past couple of months, it feels like I've been seeing more sorbet than anything other than any
really?
Other ice cream.
Really?
That has
That's great.
Been. No, that is very good.
Yeah.
You're doing your thing.
Yeah.
How's that journey been going for you so far?
It's good. We literally turned 4 years. We're in April,
wow.
March, which was last month. And it's definitely been a journey because I always thought when you start a business, you know, you're going to have all your ducks lined up. And then, you know, I mean, I know there were going to be struggles, but I didn't think it was going to be struggles, you know. So it's definitely been a journey, but it's one where it is rewarding.
Yeah.
I love what I do.
Yeah.
I'm very passionate about ice cream. I have ice cream breakfast, lunch, dinner. Yeah, I have it a lot.
And not a pound on you. I don't know how she's doing it, folks. If you guys see her in the cam, I don't know how she's doing it. I got to find out your diet plan outside of the ice cream.
I'm literally going every day. So I think that's why. Maybe that's why.
No,
but it's been amazing, you know. There are a lot of downs and there are a lot of ups.
Right.
But you just have to know what you want and you have to fight for it. Like I was saying before, life is not easy. It's not fair, but you literally have to pick what you said, your hard part. You have to pick and know what you want. So it's been great. I've been blessed and our customers are the best. I call them the Sorvetti fam.
Yeah.
And they're literally like a family. Like they have been amazing and I've been blessed to have them and to have everybody who's a part of the family. So yeah.
That is so dope. There's a saying in business, right, where it's like you need to find your niche and serve those people because you can't please everybody.
Right.
You're not ice cream.
Right.
You know, so you are in the business of pleasing a heck of a lot of people.
Yeah.
So you're in the right. You're in the right industry, you know. And you have such a very storied background. So let's start from the beginning. You know, what drew you to the field of culinary arts? Because you were a chef before you turned ice cream guru. So let's start from the beginning. How did you get into just culinary?
Yeah. It's a funny story because when I was younger, apparently my friend Mark, he said, Renee, now that we're older, he said, Renee, do you know in preschool, he told me he wants to be a chef? And I was like, what are you talking about? I don't remember that. Like, how did you remember? So apparently back then I knew I always wanted to, you know, but I came from a single parent home and my mom was always busy, right? So there's always somebody who needed to be able to cook and do something. And my siblings, we all picked it up and we said, you know, we're going to do this. My cousin who would babysit her, she'd always be in the kitchen helping. And I always found myself gravitating towards the kitchen.
Yeah.
I probably didn't know what I was doing, but I was always there and I was always happy, you know? And as I grew older, I started to bake and realize, this is something that I do enjoy doing.
Right.
So, you know, I said, okay, Renee, this is for you. I literally picked up myself and I went to school. I studied, I did culinary management. And from there, I always believe nothing happens by coincidence. Everything happens and it's supposed to line up how it's supposed to be, right? While I was there, so I did culinary. I did my job as a chef for about like 5 to 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was doing that, I actually got picked up by a local company called Eater Food.
Okay.
And they do basically like food blogging and food videos. And they actually hired me to do culinary, like to actually cook, have a cooking channel, right? And that's when I felt as though like, yeah, this is for sure. I'm choosing the right path.
Right.
I felt at home. I was in the studio. We were doing different sets. And I felt like, yeah, I'm definitely here. I'm in the right place.
Right.
But life has a funny way of turning things around.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I was genuinely happy at where I was at that point, I was literally going and working myself down to the ground because I was literally being a chef from Tuesday to Sunday and Monday, which is my only day off. I was actually in the studio filming and I was there from 8 to 8.
Wow.
So I literally was living a
going,
chef life. Like I was just going. Mind you, I loved what I was doing, but I was literally going.
Yeah.
And I literally sat down one day stressed because I was going and I reached for my favorite thing and it was ice cream, of course.
Right.
It was always ice cream.
Which ice cream?
Ice cream was always my thing that I had to go to. It made me joy. It made me happy. When I was sad, it was something I was always there. If I was happy, I got that, you know?
Is there a particular one that you go to?
I'm a vanilla girl, so...
Vanilla? Yeah. With all the crazy flavors you
Yeah, I'm a vanilla,
vanilla
girl. But, you know, you could have vanilla with, like, mixing. So I'm, like, okay. a vanilla with a little caramel or vanilla with a little brownies.
All right,
like
all right, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I was in that moment, I sat down and I said, you know what, Renee? You know, I think this feels right. This feels home.
Yeah.
You know, but I kind of just pitched the idea back in my head. And I traveled to Brazil to finish my culinary degree, right?
Right.
And while I was there, I was in an ice cream shop. Of course, I was in an ice cream shop. I wandered.
Yeah.
And while I was there, I just got this feeling, again, the same feeling when I had ice cream when I was stressed.
Yeah.
I sat down feeling like, this is it. I could feel, you know, this I don't know, something about the energy that I, yeah. and I was alone,
yeah.
but there was a certain energy that I felt like, you know, this is me, this is peace, this is where I belong.
Yeah.
But I just chucked away the memory and I came back home, and it wasn't until one of my best friends actually passed. But before he passed, he said, Renee, we love what you're doing, but it's time to slow down, you know, just slow down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally left the two chef jobs that I had. And I started this ice cream company. I said, that's it. I said, if I can't find time for me, myself, my friends, my family,
right.
why am I living this hectic life? Why am I doing this to myself?
Yeah.
Right? So I literally left the two jobs.
Yeah.
Two well-paying jobs, might I add, right? People thought I was crazy. No, people told me that I was crazy. I'm not even going to lie.
Yeah.
And I started the business. But I started the business because I knew how it made me feel, and I know it makes everybody else feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, ice cream has an amazing way of transporting you to these fond memories, whether you are from now or when you were a kid.
Yeah.
It transports you, and I wanted people to feel that way. So that's the journey of being a chef to where we are right now with Sorvetti.
But this is good, because at the end of the day, as much as you were running yourself ragged, that was preparing you
Correct.
For everything
Definitely.
That is happening now and
Definitely.
What is to come.
Mm, definitely. You know? I wouldn't be able to be, like, I'm not the best social media person, but
yeah.
I wouldn't be able to be how I'm being on social media if I wasn't doing the show before, the
right.
cooking show. So I truly believe everything is leading you up to where you need to be.
Right.
You know, I would not have been able to win that award if I didn't be able to, like, do that cooking show, actually talk to people, go to different live cooking channels, be comfortable speaking to people, you know. So it literally led me to where I'm at right now, and it really was for a purpose. It really was.
Every single thing lines
yeah.
up, because look, now we're here on Digital World, and
yeah.
you're not just spreading the word, but you're also offering insights and gems for other people that are coming
Correct.
Up behind you, you
yes.
know? So when you decide you have two well-paying jobs,
mm-hmm.
right? And I know you said people thought you were crazy when you left it.
Right.
But when you decided that you were going to start your own business, you were going to quit the two high-paying jobs,
right.
you're going to start your own business... Who's the first person you gave this crazy idea to?
Myself. No. I told my mom.
Yeah.
And I told my boyfriend. And my mom has always been a gem.
Yeah.
She has never let anything hold us back. She's a single parent, and all five of her kids went to university. We got to travel the world. So she has never let us hold anything back.
Right.
She said, Renee, if tomorrow you told me you want to be a garbage woman, but that is your purpose, okay, let's go, you know. And she hugged me and she said, let's go.
Wow.
She literally said that. And I know not a lot of people are privileged to have parents like that.
Yeah.
But I definitely am blessed to have her and the people around me too. You know, but in that moment, I knew, I literally had that feeling, like I knew it was time. And I said, Renee, go. I literally took all my savings that I had and I bought an ice cream machine. I held a little ice cream social at my brother's house, and the feedback was phenomenal. And I was like, but I didn't really get to, like, do research, do all these things I want to do. But people are saying already the brand is good. So I said, okay, maybe I'll sit down and do some research and that kind of thing. So that's really when I said, I'm going for it, you know. My mom and my boyfriend and my family, they've been very supportive from the start. So,
what do you think it is about ice cream that has this effect
yeah.
on people? Because even, like, I'm thinking about myself, when I am cutting out any type of sugar or anything, I can cut almost anything.
Right.
But cookies and cream ice cream?
Yeah.
Don't do me that. Don't
yeah.
ask me to cut that. What is it about ice cream?
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Think back to that first time you had cookies and cream ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure you're going to tell me it was when you were a child and it was like a fond memory. Back when we were children, we would think falling down was like the biggest problem of our life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that ice cream, simple as it is, was the one thing that brought us joy. And in that single moment, that was everything to you. it made you feel phenomenal. Like, you truly enjoyed it, you know. So like I said, ice cream is that thing that always brings you back to like that loved memory, and that's what I love it so much, and that's why people love it so much, because even when you're sad, ice cream is one of those things that brings you up, it lifts you up. When you're happy, when you're celebrating, you definitely want to go for ice cream. Why do you think people go on a Sunday for ice cream on a stroll? Yeah. Because when they were younger, their parents took them, and that memory is embedded in them, and it's associated with ice cream.
That's
all
crazy.
These amazing memories surrounding ice cream. You don't think of it like that.
No.
But when you sit down and you think back, wow, that ice cream was amazing, because in that environment I was in at that time, it was magical, you know?
Yeah, you're bringing up some very interesting points.
Yeah.
My two favorite ice creams would be cookies and cream, and also coconut Italian gelato.
Right.
And both of those are my favorites, because as a kid, getting cookies and cream ice cream, the best cookies and cream ice cream for me was flying back, because I'm from Canada.
Right.
Flying back to Trinidad.
Mm-hmm.
On vacation and getting Willie's cookies and cream ice cream. That was the best cookies and cream to me.
Yeah.
And what we used to get in Canada never
compared to it. Right.
Never compared, because it was homemade.
It was home.
It was homemade. And then the Italian icy and the gelato was in New York.
Yeah.
So every single time was a trip.
Correct.
Was a trip, and it was always a family trip. So you're onto something there.
Yeah.
You're onto something there.
Yeah, it really does. So that's why, you know, we try to create these different flavors every month to have you remembering, or to actually start creating that new memory. So when you get older, you can look back and be like, yeah, that was the place I went to, and that place felt like home. That flavor felt like home.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, that's great. So you buy the first ice cream machine, right? You hold the ice cream social. I don't know why. I think, Jared, I think your brother didn't, maybe my invite didn't make it. I don't know how this happened without me there, but the ice cream social happens, right? So you start, what was the first couple of flavors that you started to produce when you just started off?
We actually had milk, well, I call it milk and cookies and cream.
Right.
I call it milk and cookies.
Right.
We had vanilla caramel brownie. There was a popcorn flavor. I believe we did Nutella.
Yeah.
I also tried the basics like vanilla, chocolate, because you can't go wrong with those flavors.
Right.
And I did salted caramel, because back then salted caramel was like the craze, like in the ice cream world. Everybody was obsessed with that flavor. So I started off with those minimal flavors. And then I said, I think I walked in the grocery, and because I'm always in the grocery aisle in the ice cream aisle. And I said to myself, why we don't have any local brands that distribute in these flavors like crazy, like Ben and Jerry's, or how they go. And I looked online, and there are these other ice cream companies I look up to in the States, and they're coming out with these crazy flavors, and I'm like, why no one in Trinidad is doing this at the time?
Right.
And I kept looking and looking, and for the high quality I was looking for as well. So after the social, I said, okay, time to put pen to paper, and we're gonna go with this.
Right.
You know, we started off with a flavor. I'm trying to remember what was the first crazy flavor everybody had. I think we did an avocado sorbet once.
What?
And everybody
what?
Was like, I think we got like first, everybody was like, what is this? And then when they had it, I need to have this. And I said, you know what, if something like avocado people could, you know, try, I could try anything.
They could try doubles.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's a thing. Big up to ENJ. So,
I know. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I we're just seeing some crazy flavors of ice creams coming out. So, you know, walk us through your process because every month you're coming out with some type of new flavors. So, like, just walk us through your creative process, because this is art.
Yeah.
This is art at this point, you know. So walk us through your creative process when you're thinking about creating
so
a flavor.
So being a lying chef, it really did help me, because I'm so accustomed with blending these unique flavors and to bring it into ice cream, because ice cream could literally be anything. You can have a smoked salmon ice cream. And I know
wild.
It's wild, but in Italy they have fish ice cream all the time, and that's normal for them. So yes, exactly. But what I do, because I'm a lying chef, because I have my culinary background, it has I have all these flavors in my mind trying to remember about recipes and all these things I created. So what I do every month, well, the month before, so I'm planning May next month, the flavors are already there in my head, and I pick a theme, and we go through different themes. I'll just tell you, from like January gone, it was a good bit of like nostalgic memorable flavors. And when I was younger, I remember, yeah. So when I was younger, I remember one of my customers, she was like, yeah, you should try to do this, try to do that. And I remembered Naughty Royal was like a huge thing for me back then. So what we did, we took the Naughty Royal and we deconstructed it. So, you know, it was a vanilla ice cream with toasted peanuts. And then it had like the chocolate, the hard chocolate shell. And it had pieces of the chocolate covered waffle cone in it. And I was just like, this is home. This feels so good. So what I usually do is that I sit down. I'm going to tell you the truth. I have like 40 different flavors in my head. Wow. All at once. I write them down. And there's this book I go to. And I have to narrow that 40 down to eight. So it's a bit difficult every month. But picking a theme really helps. It really does help. Because if I say, okay, we're going to try to do Asian flavors, I could choose Asian flavors that I know and that I know could pair well, you know. So picking a theme really helps. But from that 40 flavors, I have to narrow them down to eight for every month. And then once I do that, you know, I test it out. I ask everybody, hey, you think this tasting good? You think that tasting good? And then, you know, we just run with it. And every month we really try to push the boundaries to have one unusual, at least one crazy-ish flavor. Most recently, we did a goat cheese ice cream with a blueberry compote.
Wait, goat cheese and blueberry?
No, you won't believe how that went so well.
I cannot believe.
So well. I wish I had to give you in that one. I wish. You know, I really wish I had, but it's crazy because when you think about it, you're like, ugh, goat cheese ice cream, not sounding terrible. But when you put it in ice cream, it's amazing. We paired it with this blueberry compote and it was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, we also had an olive oil ice cream with blueberry compote as well. And that, you wouldn't believe, I know your face is like, I can't
wrap my mind around it.
Yeah, only until you actually try it, then you're like, wow, this is amazing. You can turn ice cream into anything. Anything. Yeah, but I literally have to take those flavors, narrow them down, execute them, and then push it out into the world, hoping that they love it.
Wow.
And they do.
Also fun, too, for everybody. So if you know what the theme is for that month, it gives people something to look forward to.
Correct.
And keep them locked in on what you are doing.
Definitely.
Because it doesn't... It's changing. We know for most parts, ice cream doesn't necessarily change on a month-to-month basis.
Right.
When you go into Häagen-Dazs, you kind of know what you're going for.
Correct.
There might be a new flavor, once a quarter, once a year.
Correct.
Nothing really, you know. But this keeps people, you know, wanting to come back. To
definitely.
What.
Every month, my Sovetti fam, they're like, okay, when is the menu posted? Like, if I'm an hour late to post and put about the new menu, they're like, what's going on? Times are ticking. We are here waiting. You know, and sometimes I try to post clues, like Easter eggs, for them to figure out, like, what the theme is about.
Yeah.
And, they're always open. They probably at first are very hesitant because they're like you thinking, like, oh, good cheese. But they always try it. And then it always brings them back to be like, yeah. I definitely need that, you know? Yeah, I think Trinidadians audience too are now kind of opening to trying new combinations and new flavors of things.
Yeah.
We're always so standard with just the coconut, the peanut, that kind of thing. And nothing's wrong with that because, I mean, you could always go back to the traditional and I love them as well. But we're now opening our minds to saying, oh, let's try this.
Right.
You know, maybe this could be good, you know? And I'm grateful for that because that helps us.
Right,
you know?
Right. Now, one of the things that stops people from starting that business is that they might have an idea that they want to jump on, but they look at the market and they say, oh my God, there's, you know, Tom and Bob and Shay, all these other people are already doing this, right? And you have stepped out into probably one of the most saturated fields known to man. It doesn't even matter what country you go to. Some industries, you go to one country and there's nothing there and you can jump in, but I'm pretty sure ice cream parlors are a thing everywhere we
of
go,
course.
Right?
Yeah.
So when you decided, okay, you're doing this, you know, what did you have in your mind that was going to set you apart from the other ice creams of the world?
Right. I would say firstly, community. I wanted it to be strongly based on you feeling. That's why I call them the Sovetti fam. When I first started off the business, I wouldn't just drop ice cream off. I would literally come talk to your mom, talk to your dad, play with your dog, maybe ask you, how was your day? How was your weekend? What are you looking forward to? I remember specifically when I started, because I used to do deliveries myself.
Right.
And there was this one lovely couple, the person who ordered for me, she was never home, but right. the mom and dad was always there. What are you doing outside? Come inside, have a seat. And that was only because I built that community, that strong relationship right. with them.
Right.
So I always wanted it to be about community and bringing people together through ice cream. Apart from that, I wanted people to understand that, hey, you can have a higher quality of ice cream, and it doesn't have to be like, you know, because everybody's, we know Häagen-Dazs, we know Ben & Jerry's and that kind of thing, but I wanted like this local brand to be of high quality.
Right.
I wanted to use real ingredients. I didn't want to just piggyback off of just throwing in fake essence or flavorings yeah. or that kind of thing, you know. And you know, it's nothing wrong with that, because as a Trinidadian, like, that's what you knew growing up.
Right.
You just knew that, you right. know. But I didn't want it to be like that.
I
wanted it to be rich. I wanted it to be creamy. I wanted it to be like, wow, this is some quality stuff, you know. So apart from building a community and actually building, like, putting, like, real ingredients into there, you know, mixed with me bringing out my own personality into the brand as well, it was like a mixture of all those two things that made me like, yeah, I don't have to be literally the best at everything, but I can be me. Every month I could show up and I could be me, and I could put all the flavors that represent me. Of course, there's a lot of fear. There's always fear going into anything in life. You turn down a street, whether you should go left or right, that's a fear too. You know, it's simple, but it should never really stop you from where you want to go, because there's nobody else. You hear this a lot. There's nobody else going to do it like you. And it's true. It's true. If I looked back now and I said my younger self, Renee, like, hey, you know, don't start a company because it's so many people doing ice cream, but no one is going to do it like me, you know. No one is doing it just like how I would do it. It could be similar, very, very similar, you know, but it's not going to be from me. And I think that's what is really important. And you have to know and believe in yourself, have that confidence that, yes, it's going to be hard at first, but putting your foot down and knowing exactly where you want to go, that makes it all worthwhile. So yeah,
that is huge. And you know, I want people to really soak that point in, because the majority of us are not inventing anything. We are coming into industries where they might be established to a certain extent, maybe
right.
they're well established, right? It doesn't get more established than ice cream, right? If you go down the aisle of the bread aisle, you'll see there's hundreds
Correct.
And hundreds of different breads, but
right.
guess what, we all know which ones we like, and there's
yep.
there's a type and a kind of bread for everybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just really want to inject your personality, as Renee said, into whatever you are doing, because
yep.
nobody is going to do it like you.
Yeah.
That is always going to keep you standing out and standing apart from everybody
Definitely.
Else. You know?
Definitely.
So, how do you go about sourcing your ingredients locally? Because I know, depending on your industry, that's like, especially because we live in Trinidad.
Right. It's tricky.
It's tricky.
It's
right?
very, very, very tricky.
Yeah. So how is sourcing your ingredients? Does that also affect, you know, what kind of flavors you put out for the next month?
Yeah.
Talk to us about the sourcing of the ingredients.
Yeah, definitely. If we go talking about sorbets, so that's basically like a fruit base, right? And we try to go with flavors that are in season. So right now it's mango season. So I can go to my local vendor and rack up like 100, 600 mangoes, and that's perfect for us.
Right.
But there are a lot of flavors that are not in season, or is not from Trinidad. So like strawberries, for instance, right? And it's difficult, because when I first started off the business, I didn't know where to go for like certain things.
Right.
But what I did is that I asked. And I think we're all so afraid of asking, because we never know what persons are going to say. In the same industry, mind you.
Yeah.
People are going to say, people are going to be like, we're really scared because I don't know what a person will think of me. Again, fair.
Yeah.
But I really had to push myself out of the comfort zone.
Right.
I asked, hey, even when I wanted to buy another ice cream machine, I said, hey, I messaged the next company. I said, hey, where'd you guys get that? Or, you know, could you give me some advice on this?
Yeah.
So I did the same with ingredients. I asked around, maybe not in my same field all the time, but I know different chefs or who owned businesses. And I just asked to source a lot of different ingredients. When I started off, I went to the farmers myself.
Right.
I went straight up and I got perspective from them. They brought me on to different farmers. I was in a lot of agricultural groups, so they put me on to other people too.
Right.
Once you start making that connection and building that
network.
Like, yeah, exactly that network, it kind of leads you on to different people, and like I think that's what stops us from even moving further, because we're all always afraid of asking.
You might get that one no or that one bad experience where, because we know there's a lot of people that don't like to share information.
Correct.
So you might run into that, and that might turn you off from ever moving forward. But
there's, look, just last week somebody asked me, she said, hey, I want to start an ice cream business, so and so is the case, what do you think? I said, okay, sure, no problem, these are the steps that I took, it may not work for you.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, you could kind of use this as like a path to start your own or build your own. She said, I can't believe you gave me all this information.
Yeah.
She said, nobody would do that. I said, hey, I said, look, this is the difference.
You're
I have my brand. I know who and what Sorvete is. You can't take Sorvete away from me. I'm the only person who could take Sorvete away from me. So I said, it's not going to cost me anything to tell you this, because I'm already thinking of the next ice cream machine I want to buy, and it's not going to be the same, you know. You're not holding me or the brand back. Sharing this information is not going to stop me, it's not going to stop the brand, you know. And she was really surprised, and I sat to myself, I said Renee, you were back there too 4 years ago, so don't even sweat it, you were back there too, you know.
Yeah.
So I literally asked around, and I take the time to kind of research a lot of different things too, different ingredients, and that's kind of where it all plays in. So
that's such a huge point, because we have so many people that are stuck because they want to ask, they go out and ask, and people are not secure in themselves, so they shut that person down and they hold and they hoard information.
Yeah,
that's a big problem that we face Caribbean-wide, where we have people that are just hoarding the information and not giving that that person that piece of information that could be the key for them to grow. And right now, that is... we're seeing it play out on a bigger scale. So it's great that you are at a place in your life where you are secure in yourself, that you can start to help the next generation and people can come to for that information, right? In such a fun and creative space like ice cream, how do you stay creative in this space? Because it's a space where, again, there's so many flavors. Back in Canada, we have a chain called Baskin Robbins, and they have 100 flavors. Mm-hmm. How do you stay creative in this industry?
Yeah, like I said, every month we change flavors, so I always have to kind of be on my toes.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do things that are true to me and that inspire me.
Mm-hmm.
So I often would go, anytime I go to the grocery, anytime I go to any food place, I sit down. I have dinner, I'm by a family friend, and they have something in their fridge that I've never seen before. I'm like, ooh, a bottle of this, what is that?
Yeah.
I kind of put it in my brain, and it's there. And then when I come home, just have random pages with different flavors, you know. So there's always something that is inspiring to me. And every time I go to the grocery, I have a million videos. Every time I go to the grocery, I just tape what I see in aisles, so that I'll know maybe this could go back to this, maybe that could do. And what I also do is that I pull inspiration from the Sorvete farm.
Right.
There was this one month, November is all about flavors that we're bringing back, right?
Right.
There, October, I had to plan November's month. I was in a rut. I couldn't figure out flavors. Like, this was the first time I was I can't think of a flavor. Like, it's not coming to my mind. I said, Renee, why don't you just bring back the flavors? Like, ask your Sorvete farm, what are the flavors they love throughout the year?
Yeah.
Just bring back those flavors, because you know for sure, one, is going to sell because they love it. Two, the flavors are already created, so you don't have to worry about anything particularly.
Right.
And that's how every November now, my customers get back the flavors that they love throughout the year. But I was in a rut. Like, I couldn't think. Like, I don't know. I was like, vanilla alone. That's all I was thinking. So sometimes I'm in that space where I feel like I can't think.
Yeah.
But I go outside, and maybe if I go for a drive, I go somewhere. And you always get inspiration from something you're looking at or you're doing. It may not be big at that moment, but once you kind of lock it in, you know, I try my best to come up with fun things for everybody. And, you know, it's been a journey from where we started to now.
Yeah.
And trying to get people to actually try the flavors and enjoy the flavors has been a challenge. But we've come to the point where they know to trust us enough now.
If you are creating it, it's worth trying.
Somebody told us that last week in chat. She said, I can't believe this flavor was so good, but I should have known it's from you guys, so I should have trusted you.
Right.
And I laughed because I said, she was an OG customer, and look, you know, like, look from there to now.
Yeah.
They trust us. They trust us completely. Yeah. But it's been a journey. I love finding inspiration from a lot of different things. Yeah.
That's beautiful. What do you feel like has been your biggest challenge to this point? Because, I mean, it's ice cream. We know ice cream is going to sell. But
right.
You know, what do you feel like has been your biggest challenge to this point?
Right. I have never been, so it's so funny that I'm on the digital world, but I have never really been like a social media person. I had to be when I was doing the cooking show.
Right.
But I was just for the cooking show and I just posted whatever, you know, they gave me that kind of thing. But I've never been a social person. And it took me like, the reason I think you're seeing a lot of Sovetti now is because I have literally decided that now I'm going to take our social media seriously. I'm gonna try to push myself. So I started to do a lot of different videos to kind of come out of my comfort zone to start posting about Sovetti, letting people know about Sovetti. But it's been difficult. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I am not a social media person, but it's been very hard to try to, you know, because there's this, I don't want to use the word facade, but there's this big facade on social media where everybody thinks everything is perfect.
Yeah.
So what I try to do on my TikTok is show people that, hey, I'm making this amazing video, but it's really just a tile background or a cardboard background. And, you know, I just have my scoop and the camera, that kind of, it's my phone I'm using to tape on. It looks amazing on the profile, but it's, so I show them behind the scenes and I let them know that, hey, it's not always, you know, amazing, but I'm still trying.
Yeah.
I'm still pushing. And I think showing people the process of our success is really important. So that has definitely been a struggle. I'm not even going to lie. Business side of it, I kind of didn't really understand all the dynamics of a business. I always thought that, okay, I make a product, I sold it, I get a little bit of profit, that's great.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of other things going along with a business. I didn't even know when you register a business. From the time you register a business, even if you don't make any money, you still have to file taxes. You still have to show the government, hey, I'm here, but you know, this is what's going on. And the business side of it, I really didn't know. And it's only taken me so long to understand that, hey, you have to have accounts. You have to, it needs to make sense. You need to file for this. You have to be this. And just being, I know Trinidadians, we don't like to take time to go through forms. We don't like to go through all these other things. So I am part of that society. Like, that business part sucks because I would have to, when I started the business, put in all my bills and, you know, try to figure out how to do accounting.
Right.
And it was terrible. It was hard. Thankfully, now I'm blessed where I could actually hire an accountant where she could be like, okay, Renee, these are the figures. This is what's going on. You know, but it's difficult. And for anybody starting a business too, it's not just about you selling up, you make a product, you sell a product, you have profit. No, you literally have to like know these numbers. You have to go making sure like you file for all these things that you have to file for. Taxes. My God, I did not know. Welcome to the big world when I actually had to file our tax. And I was just like, okay. So it's really two things that are very hard for me. At the point, it's social media, and I'm really have been trying with it.
Yeah.
And getting behind the actual business parts of running the actual business.
Yeah.
But like I said, with in the beginning, with everything, it's a journey, and you kind of have to just go through all these steps. You may be failing at first, but you're gonna find your way. Once you keep at it, you're gonna find your way. Social media is a lot for me, but it probably looks like, oh yeah, this page looks amazing and exciting and fun, but it's a lot, and I have to talk to myself every day, like, Renee, you gotta post, you gotta do this, because at the end of the day, if you don't post, if you're not out there to show people, they're not gonna see your brand, you know, they're not gonna be able to buy from you. So I literally had to push myself, put myself out of my comfort zone and be like, hey, wake up.
And it's tough, especially like if you don't have that personality. So as much as people even see me, my personality isn't to jump on video and start to create content.
Right.
When I first started, I was like, I'm not doing no video.
Yeah.
Everything I did for like the first year and change was all written content.
Right.
So blogs was my thing, and I really, you know, gained my momentum through blogging.
Yeah.
And then that, when I started to podcast is audio only, because again, I don't want to be on camera.
Yeah.
I like to just be kind of behind the scenes.
Right.
And I sprinkle video in. So when I actually have to show my face and get on the public, I can sprinkle that in. But no, I'll blog every day.
Yeah.
I will podcast every day.
Right.
Radio, we'll do radio. Well, we live stream, so you know. But no, it's like video again. If you don't have that personality, video can be
daunting.
Can be a lot.
It can be daunting.
It can be a lot. What I would say as a tip for everybody listening is that video is just one type of content.
Correct.
There's other types of content
Correct.
That you can build, mm-hmm. right? And figure out what your strengths are. So if you like to write, then you can start to blog. If you have a great voice, and again, maybe you're very passionate so people can hear it in your voice, podcasting is a major, major platform as well. And then there's also video. You can minimize video if you're doing other things.
Right.
But if you're not doing anything else, you got
to
do something.
Yeah, you have to do something. It's, again, there's a fear. When you speak to any other business owner and they say they don't want to be behind the camera, it's a fear. It's a fear of not thinking you're good enough, or it's a fear of other people judging you or thinking it's cringy or it's giving you that ick, as Gen Z would say. But the truth is, people want to know. They want to know who is the owner. They want to know the story. They want to get to know you because they feel as though like giving their money, their hard-earned money, might I add, to you, it's rewarding because they know you and they know your story. They know the brand. They believe in you more. So what I say to anybody who's listening and that they're really nervous about doing that, I say start slowly. You can, like, I'll give you an example. Like, if you're like a florist and you don't want to be behind the scenes, start making videos, like easy time-lapse videos of showing you building a bouquet where you're not really speaking, but they're seeing your face, they're seeing part of you, they're seeing the business itself. And then you can sprinkle the little videos of saying, hey, I am Suzanne and I'm just going to show you guys how to store flowers better, that kind of thing. So it's not always that you have to hit them on every video with yourself, but at least show parts of your day that include you.
Yeah.
Again, they're going to feel more entitled to say, yeah, I'm going to give her my money instead of giving Jack and John and stuff. So the hardest part is always starting. But once you start, I'm saying that and I still say it's difficult, but once you start, you know, there's no going back, because then you yourself would see the difference that it's bringing into you. So don't even feel like, oh, their videos are amazing. Like right now, I don't feel like my social media is like this amazing bougie page that I want it to be, but I know we'll get there one day. But what I do, the difference is I'm posting, I'm doing it, I'm showing up. If I wasn't, then, you know, it won't work and you won't make any sales. So anybody listening, just start. It's gonna be at first cringy, icky, you're gonna have doubts, but just start. Once you make that first video, then you'll be like, okay, build the confidence. So I'll just tell anybody, just start. You're not gonna have everything lined up, but just start. And I use my phone. People don't think that I do, but I use my phone to tape everything.
Most people's phones are more than enough to create content on social media. And folks, you know, if video is daunting, try something else. Try written content, try audio content. For me, that helped me build my confidence to show up in any situation at that point, because once the blog started to do what it was doing, I was like, okay, people like the blogs.
Yeah,
they're reading the blogs, they're commenting, they're engaging, they're reaching out. And then doing video wasn't as bad because I already know that people already like what you do.
Right.
Now they just want to see the face behind it.
Correct, because they've built that bond with you.
Correct. And then you get to the point where, again, I like to sprinkle video in, but when people read my content, people will message and be like, I read it in your voice.
Right.
Because I can hear it.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So just start, figure out if video is daunting, figure out, you know, what you like and start to create content on there. But back to you. Mm-hmm. So what I want to know is, what has been the most rewarding part of the journey for you?
It's always been about the farm. It's always been about that community I've built. They inspire me and push me more than anything to get their message at the end of the day, because I always have like a hard week, have a hard day. To get that message from them, my OGs especially, they send that message, and that, you think probably that's really small, Renee, winning this award or being here and being
because
people looking on the outside, they're thinking all these other things are like amazing. But just being able to get that message from my customer at the end of the day and they're telling me all the hard work I did
was worth it.
It's the small things to me. So it's me getting that message and me having that bad day, but it's turning around because I get that message. And you can tell they're genuine because I have been genuine with them.
Right.
You know, so that has been the most rewarding. You wouldn't believe it. Like, just being able to get feedback from what I created, what I envisioned here. I executed it. They tasted it. Then it's coming back to me as a good word. That has just been everything to me. It's as simple as it sounds to people, but it really has. It really, really has been the best and the most rewarding thing to me ever.
Listen, I mean, you're in the right place, and what you are doing and what you are creating, there are going to be those people where they are consuming what you create after their long, hard days.
Yeah.
And you're taking them out of that rut.
Correct.
So I can imagine, I mean, as simple as it sounds, ice cream. I could imagine some of the heartfelt messages that you get.
Yeah. Yeah, no, because again, it's ice cream is that thing. You have a hard day. You want to celebrate. You just want to unwind. You just want to relax. It's just that thing that, you know, makes you feel good. And for somebody to associate like a food or a dessert, and then we put it into ice cream, it just makes everything better. Just makes everything better.
Because you inject so much of you into the brand and into the business, right? How do you handle any negative feedback?
Right.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I try in the earlys, everything used to affect me. If one customer said, didn't like how this tasted, they wanted more of this, I would literally feel like, oh, this is the end of it. This is the end of me. But I had to literally build like a really strong backbone.
Right.
And I prayed a lot about it because I said, God, that this is the part I want to take. I know you're not going to lead me somewhere that I shouldn't be.
Right.
You know, so I sat and I said, okay, even last year, I think we got into like an altercation with somebody else and we got really like bad, like negative press about it. But then I said, why do I feel this strange sense of peace? Even though there's a lot of negativity around right now.
Right.
I felt a strange peace. And I said, you know why? Because you've grown from that, oh, I don't like this about this company, to, okay, maybe you don't like that, but it's not for you, but it's for somebody else.
Right.
So I've grown and I said, you know what? This publicity, whether it's bad or good, you have to run with it.
Right.
You gotta run with it. And I remember in that instant, I was like, okay, great, we're moving on to the next. I was already on to the next month planning, seeing what they wanted, that kind of thing. It's difficult. It really is difficult at first because I take the time to make something that I love.
Yeah.
And when somebody kind of like comes in and is like, that wasn't it, it hurts. It definitely hurts.
Because you've put so much of you into it.
Correct.
And it never feels like it's personal?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Sometimes it feels that way. Especially when there's this one thing that I know for sure in my heart, like I'm obsessed with.
Yeah.
And then I get a bad review, I'm like... But I've learned now. I've grown and I've learned now to deal with it.
Yeah.
What I do, my rule of thumb is if one person says something bad, I said, maybe it's just not that flavor for them.
Yeah.
Let's try and find that flavor for them.
Yeah.
But if it's like five people, I said, okay, maybe it's time to sit back, taste the flavor again, figure out. And we've done that. The Sauvetti Farm, they have let us know. Every month we create flavors and the OGs are like, Ren, this month this flavor wasn't all that, but I think if you add this, I think if you do this, if you add more cookies, I'll give you an instant. We did Biscoff. And at first, there wasn't enough mixings and we got a ton of messages. Hey, there wasn't a lot of mix scenes. And I said, but I love this flavor. It tastes so good on its own. I don't think it needs that. You know what I did? I said, okay, Renee, maybe you're missing the mark on this one. Maybe it's time to sit down, think about what your customers want, because at the end of the day, they're the ones buying.
Correct.
So I said, okay, maybe it's time. I sat down, I added more mix scenes, and then the next month, that's our top selling flavor year round. Like literally, it comes like
wow.
It comes around now. We have to bring it once a year because it's been a while.
Right.
But sometimes you have to take it with a grain of salt, and then sometimes you have to act on it.
Right.
You have to know whether or not, could this be helpful for me in the future, or is this something that just needs to stay here? You have to forget about it and move on. You know, so I try to do that every time something comes up. I sit and I said, okay, is this going to help us in the future? Is this going to be good? Or do we just keep it here? My mom always says, take 2 minutes. She says, take 2 minutes, feel bad, feel really bad, and then move on. and then move on.
Yeah.
Because life
is moving on regardless. The show will go on regardless.
Yeah, so all those negative things, I try my best. And it's not easy, but because you're human, already.
Correct.
So you're going to feel that kind of, you know, punch, that burn. But you learn to grow.
And learn how to deal with it.
Correct. I would say that, yeah.
As a young entrepreneur, what has been the most memorable, what has been the biggest milestone for you thus far as a young entrepreneur?
Whew, there's a lot. But I would
What's meant the most for you?
What's meant the most for me?
Yeah.
When I got the chance to actually build a kitchen that I could have used for the brand and to, you know, expand the brand itself. Because when I started off, it was just me, at my home, and I just had one freezer. It was just me alone, churning everything. Now I look back and see how blessed I am that we have, how many drivers we have, and I have workers, and I look back and I see I am truly blessed. And that in itself for me is like,
wow. The
growth that I actually got to go through was everything. I remember when I got that first, I bought an X machine after that first machine, and I remember watching all the freezers, seeing that, this is real now. That moment, I said, okay, this is something I can't forget. That first time I used that new machine, I said, I can't forget this. Like, this is everything. Because I used to use a baby machine, probably like this big. And me thinking, I'm doing so good. Yeah, I'm doing so good. But being able to switch from just doing that small batch to, like, we still do everything small batch, but to be able to move up has definitely been... everything.
How does it feel like to now be in charge of a team? We haven't hit 30 yet, and you got a team behind you now. How does it feel to have that team? To be in charge of people, responsible for people.
Correct. I think I tend to be a lot of a people pleaser, and I've had to learn the hard way to stand up for what I knew and what I believed in. Because at the end of the day, if something goes wrong, they're not going to say, this one messed up. She was tuning that day. No, they're going to say Renee and the brand, so that they messed up. So I had to learn the hard way. Even with our drivers, I've had to learn the hard way of how to figure out their characteristics and knew what worked best for them and what didn't work best for them. So even like when I started off the business, I did deliveries myself. I would go, I would greet the customers. I wouldn't just drop off ice cream. So I had to speak to my drivers and let them know, hey, it's not just ice cream you're dropping off.
Yeah.
Tell them, hi, good morning. Hope they enjoy their Sunday. Hope they enjoy the ice cream. If you're handing them a cake, tell them happy birthday. It's the little things.
Yeah.
Me having to let go and deal with that and deal with all the different personalities. At first, it was a lot. I felt as though like it was all coming at me really, really quickly because everybody's different. And I'm in charge of dealing with men. And at first it was like a little daunting because I felt as though like maybe they won't take me seriously.
Right.
But they have so much respect for me.
Right.
And I think it's how I treat them. I really do treat them with kindness because I expect them to hand that kindness over to my customers.
Mm.
So for me, it's like every time I have a situation, I have to kind of step back. How to deal with this? You know the characteristics of this individual. If you go head on and be this way, they're not going to receive it. They're not going to, you know, show and expand the business how you want it to be, you know. So having staff, it's difficult, but it really, really is great because, like I said, I did everything myself.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy now that we have people that are behind the brand and for what we stand for, that kind of thing. But it's fun. It's fun having people to talk to. It's fun as well, you know. I've seen it too, because when I go back and when I go check in with them and I could see them interacting with each other, I'm like, this is nice. This is a safe space. They feel great to come to work. You know, even if they're having like a bad day, there's something, well, there's ice cream to help them. But, you know, they have each other and, you know, it's a team.
Yeah.
Same thing with the drivers too. You know, when we meet on a weekend, we have a little chat before, somebody will bust a joke. Like, you know, it's a team and we feel that way. They feel confident about what they're doing. And I really try to treat everybody with kindness because I know I want them to extend that to my customers. So,
that's beautiful because you know what? You are part of that next generation where you're building company that you're employing people.
Right.
And these are the types of experiences people are going to now hold on for the rest of their life.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that go through their entire work career without ever working in a place where they feel safe.
Safe, correct.
Or, you know, it's a joy to come to work. They're correct. Coming there strictly for that check.
Yeah.
And not doing anything more than what is outlined in their job description, which is why you have employers trying to add in as much.
Yeah.
You know, but you're creating that safe space and making it so that people want to come to work. That's huge.
Life is already hard as it is. It is so hard already. Life is difficult.
And we spend most of our time at work anyway.
At work, exactly. So it should just be that one place that you feel like you actually want to be here, you actually want to work.
Yeah.
And the beauty is that I've seen that through them when I go back and I'm just in behind the scenes and I'm seeing them work and like, yeah, okay, I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm doing okay.
Right.
Yeah.
What's next for Servette?
Well, the end goal for Servette has always been the same. I always want my ice cream cafe.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, my brother would have meetings in Haagen-Dazs every weekend, and every weekend I was there. So bad, like the managers knew my name. We would chat. I would have Haagen-Dazs merch in my room. Yeah, I'm telling you, I still have like mugs and stuff from them.
Okay.
Yeah, because I wanted to embody what they had. You know, I always wanted that, and it has always been my goal to just have a cafe.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in Brazil and I told you I got the idea for Servette and I just pulled it in my brain, I was in that cafe feeling like this is it.
Right.
So I just want that cafe, and I know I've been through a lot in life to know that I just want happiness. And I know everybody will think, oh, you're a little silly, you maybe should be into, you know, pushing the brand into be exporting and all these other things. If they come, great. But what I want for the brand is to have our own spot where people could come, enjoy the brand, sit down, create those memories, those same memories as a child with their children now, you know. So it's always been my goal just to have a cafe, and the Lord will come through and he will give us an ice cream cafe. It's just in his timing. So that's the next step, us having an ice cream cafe. When we get to open it, you'll be invited, don't worry.
That is what we're talking
and we'll
about.
Have, we'll have a scoop of milk and cookies for you.
Oh, man, listen. No, that is what we are talking about. And you're on the way there.
Yeah.
You're making that progress. And every step that you have taken thus far is leading you to that cafe.
Definitely.
You know? I know the hour flies by fast.
Yeah, it definitely did.
Where can the digital world and Freedom 106.5 family find you and Servette?
Sure. So we're online business right now until we get that storefront.
Yeah.
So it's really based on deliveries we do. You can find us on Servette. You can look at Servette TT on Instagram. And
spell it out for us, because I know some of us struggling.
It's Servette.
Yeah.
And once you see there, you can click our link to get our website.
Right.
You order through our website and we deliver it straight to your door. Other than that, there are a few other places that you can get the brand. In South, you can pick it up at Bubble Cantina.
Mm-hmm.
In Central, we have Time Gourmet. And on the East-West Corridor, you can pick up in Cozy Marketplace. There are a lot of different ways, and you can also pick up in South, because we're originally from South as well. But definitely through our website, and we deliver straight to you. No hassle. You just order what you need, and we deliver
it
straight to you.
That is what we're talking about. What is the big flavor this month?
This month was all about April flavors and like really bright, colorful flavors. So we did a lavender haze.
Right.
It was a lavender ice cream. A lot of people are like, that's probably going to taste like flowers, but...
That's wild.
Yeah. It's a lavender ice cream with honeycomb pieces in it.
Wow.
And it literally was really, really amazing. And we went back to a lot of more flavors that you had around this time.
Right.
And we did a tamarind ice cream, which was like, it was one of those flavors that made you pucker up, because it was like tamarind. Like, it was really, really strong.
Wow.
But yeah, we tried to play on a lot of different things to... make you feel excited. So, yeah.
John, you eating an avocado ice cream?
No. John is like, no, thank you.
What ice cream?
What about a goat cheese ice cream? Yeah. You have to try it. Definitely. I brought some for you guys here, and I think I didn't get a chance to bring any of the other ones because we all sold out of them. But there's a Crix and Tea one for you to try.
Crix and Tea?
Yeah, there's a Crix and Tea.
Edible.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you try it out. Try it out and see.
We go try it. Renee, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming in. there was a lot that we got to speak about.
Yeah.
I'm glad that people got to learn more about you and learn more about the journey from
right.
where you started to where you are right now.
Yeah.
The brand is definitely going places. When that cafe opens,
yes.
we want the invite.
Yes, okay. Of course. You're there.
Wonderful. And we're, yeah. Lost my train of thought for a second, but no. Thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
This
Thanks
was
for
great.
Having us.
No,
Thanks
for sure,
me.
For sure, for sure. Shout out the team before you go.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure they're listening.
I know. Shout the team
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah. Hi, Danny. Hi, Sadie. Hi, Sherelle. They're all there probably watching as we make stuff. I'm pretty sure my family is there listening. So, hi, everybody.
yeah, the Andrews family. Yeah. How you guys doing? Shout outs to you.
yeah.
All right, cool. We're gonna go and pay some bills, and we're gonna be right back with more Digital World after this.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.